good to see everyone this morning. Good morning to all of you. Welcome again. Welcome to those joining online. This morning, I have a question for you as we get started, and that is, how many of you have a lookalike? Someone who looks a lot like you, or someone who others say looks a lot like you? Who is it? How many of you, your lookalike is your family member? Does anyone have, yeah, I see some hands, maybe a sister, maybe a parent, a great aunt, somebody like that? You, yes! I see that, you do match. That's so true, good job. How about it's your friend? How many of you have a friend who looks very similar to you? Okay, Pastor Matt says yes. Some others, maybe your best friend, somehow you just look like each other. Maybe it's an acquaintance. Do any of you have a coworker? Maybe someone you went to school with way back in the day, your teachers could not tell you apart. Yes, I see a hand right here. How many of you have been told you look like a famous actor? Does anyone have an actor lookalike? A few? Okay. A few maybe in the balcony? I would love to hear later who that is. That's so fun. Whether or not you know someone that you think looks like you, we have all had that moment where you're sitting somewhere, maybe here in church, or you're at some public event, and you feel like someone is looking at you. And they're staring at you, and you can tell they're kind of puzzling something out. And they come up to you, sure enough, after a little while, and they say, "Do I know you from somewhere?" And you're looking at them, and so you start to go down memory lane. Well, here's all the places I've lived. Here's all my extended family. Here's the people that I know, where I went to school. Here's my exes. And they just learn a lot of information from you really quick, and hopefully by the end, you find the connection. If you don't, it's really awkward, right? It's a funny moment. Yes, I heard a quick yes. So we've all had these moments. It's funny. It's fun when you find the connection. It's a little awkward if you don't. But this morning, I would submit to you that as a disciple of Jesus, we should be having this moment more often, where people start looking familiar. Over the past few weeks, we've been following the series, A Better Life, on the Beatitudes, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. We've been learning what it looks like when you grow in your journey with Jesus. And Pastor Matt's going to continue with the next Beatitude next week, but I think today's might give us another angle on what our next one will be on. As we get started today, let's bow our heads and let's pray together. Dear Father, Lord, thank you for the reminders today through the worship, through the singing, that you're a God of beauty and greatness and holiness. Thank you for every person here today in this church. God, I ask that you would open our hearts. Holy Spirit, you speak. We're listening. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5, and if you didn't bring your Bible, that's okay. There's a Bible right in front of you in the pew, and this is on page 818. If you are turning there and you're trying to look, it's past Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, a little farther. Keep going, the New Testament. And as I hear the pages turning, this is a letter written by a man named Paul. He's writing to a church in Corinth. So if he were to write to us today, he might say the church in Apopka, the church in Altamont, right? The church of Forest Lake. He's writing to the group, the body of believers in that geographical location. And his message is pretty honest. He's clearing up some misconceptions they had, and he starts to share a little bit of his story and his motivation and his why. And as you turn there, we're going to pick up in chapter 5, verse 14. Right? You there? And it reads this. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Paul says, I'm not just out here doing this for the paycheck, right? Like some of you teachers would say, I'm here because I care. I'm here because of Jesus. Paul says, Jesus is my why. Jesus is my motivation. That's why we're here as disciples, as apostles. And so, verse 16, he shares, this is the result of that. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. And depending on your version, your Bible may say instead of regard, it may say recognize or evaluate. It's a word that is a combination of knowing, of seeing and knowing. It can mean to be aware, to behold, to consider, to perceive. And it's often translated as know in the New Testament. If we were to compare this to how we approach a red light, it's not just passing by the red light like nothing even happened. It's coming up in your car, seeing the light, right? Understanding what it means and the laws of this land, and responding in the appropriate way, which would be to stop, right? We don't just ignore red lights. I hope you don't. Some people don't. We take it in. We know what to do about that light, right? He says, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Yours may say according to the flesh, according to just the external, to what you see on the outside. He said, we don't see anybody from just the outside anymore. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. At one time, Paul didn't love Jesus. He didn't know who Jesus was, right? He thought that he was just a man. He thought he was someone that was born in the wrong town, that disagreed with the people that he thought everyone should listen to, someone who drew a lot of crowds, but who Paul thought was a fake. Until one day, what happened in Paul's life? Who knows the story? He was going along the road, minding his own business. He had a plan. He had an agenda. He had somewhere he was going. And all of a sudden, a light from heaven flashed all around him. Can you imagine? He falls to the ground, and what happens? Jesus starts speaking to him. He calls him by name. He reveals himself to Paul. And Paul is so overcome, he's blinded. For 3 days, he can't see. But during that time, he prays and he asks Jesus into his heart, and his whole life changes. After those 3 days, what he does changes, his whole calling, how he views himself, his identity, because once Paul had seen Jesus, he couldn't unsee him. That changed everything for him, and now he's telling everybody about him. And we see that in the verse that we're reading. It wasn't just Jesus that he saw differently. He says, it's not only though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer, but he says we regard no one from a worldly point of view. If we continue reading verse 17, Paul says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. According to this text, Paul says, people fall into one of two categories. If they've chosen Jesus, if they're in Christ, we are a new creation. We don't relate to each other based off our past or the mistakes that we've made. Or, Paul says, there are people who don't know God yet, right? But according to this verse, God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. So God has already made all the steps necessary to restore everyone's friendship with God. Those people, there are others who are just waiting to receive it, right? That's our choice. So Paul says, we don't see anyone the same way. Again, we don't see people like we did before. This is not only because of what Jesus has done in saving us, but what he did in creating us. If you flip back in your Bible all the way to the very beginning, Genesis chapter 1, we see what God did in creating the world. He made stars and light and trees and flowers, and he started making animals. All kinds of crazy things, manatees, and here in Florida. And then at the very end, on the last day, God said something shocking. Verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Many of us may read this and just kind of skip over it. We've heard it before, but this was crazy. This was shocking. The whole universe stopped any other created beings up to that point, and they looked and they said, what? They saw God forming Adam, and they looked and they gasped because they said, he looks just like him. He looks just like him. Any of you that have seen my mom or maybe seen a picture of her can probably say there is no denying the resemblance. There she is. Yay, mom. By the way, thank you for praying for her, those of you who have been. She's been continuing in remission for over a year, year and a half now, so we are very grateful. But as you see my mom, you notice we have similar hair coloring, right? Our build is similar. Even the way that we squint one of our eyes when we smile, we're very similar. So people will even call me April. People that know her, they'll see me and they'll call me April because I look so much like my mom. And this is how God is. He's put part of himself in us. And the Bible repeats this phrase over and over because it's so shocking. We look like God in our personalities, in our desires, in our responsibilities, in our creativity, our work, our dreams, the dreams that he's put in our heart, even our physical characteristics. In some way, we look like him. I was listening to a podcast, and they imagined it this way, that when you were born at that exact moment, you don't remember it, when you popped out of your mom, that all the angels gasped because they saw in you a part of God they'd never seen before. Can you imagine? Isn't that a beautiful thought? That every single person represents, every person shows, portrays God to the world in a way that's never been seen until that person was born. A few months ago, I saw this. You'll see it on the slide coming up in a minute. I was driving along, and I saw a license plate. And most of you have probably seen this, but for some reason, I just hadn't noticed it before. And it was that day. Maybe it was because it was Memorial Day or something like that. And I saw, oh, wow, Florida Disabled Veteran. And all of a sudden, I just started seeing them all the time. And now I see one every single day. Have you seen this license plate? Yes, we have many veterans in Florida, and thank you to those of you who are here today who have served. But now that I have seen that plate, I can't unsee it, right? And it's the same with Jesus. Once you truly see Jesus, you start to see him everywhere, uniquely reflected in all the 8 billion people that he made. And you might be saying today, yes, that's very nice. We've talked about this. We know this. Why are we preaching about it today? Because if you're anything like me, sometimes we forget. It doesn't take very much. It doesn't take very long. All it takes is for someone, as Pastor Steve started mentioning earlier, to state a political opinion that I don't agree with, right? Or that I find inflammatory. And all of a sudden, the pressure in the room changes. And I feel something building in the core of my stomach just tightening, and the blood rushes to my head. And in my brain, I say, got it. Okay, you said this, I know you, right? Okay, you voted for that person, so therefore you are like this. Therefore you do this. And I start telling myself a whole little story about who you are and what you're about. I've got you figured out. I give you a set of values and characteristics that may or may not pertain to you. I define you by your politics. Really, I reduce you to your political opinion. And really, in that moment, I'm not even looking at you or listening to you anymore. I'm listening to the story that I'm playing out in my brain, my own script. And we don't see that person anymore. We just see their viewpoint, red or blue, and what that may mean to us. It's depersonalizing. And it happens. James 3, 9 through 10 gives this observation, and it challenges me when I read it. It'll be coming up here on the screen. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? Can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. James says there's a terrible incongruence between our worship over here praising Jesus and then the way that we talk about each other or the way that we see each other. He says, this should not be. It shouldn't be this way. This is Exhibit A of what Paul says in 2 Corinthians he doesn't do anymore since meeting Jesus. He said, after meeting Jesus, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Our society focuses on the external, on the physical, what you can see and touch. We focus on things like what someone looks like. Are they tall or are they short? Are they thick or are they thin? What type of hair do they have? How pretty are they? How old are they? How young are they? Where are they from? What's their political party? What they do, what type of job they have, how much money they make, or how others see them. How many times has someone related to you based on something that was external that you had no control over? They just saw your age. They just saw how you looked that day. Have you felt that way? It's not a good feeling. It's not a nice feeling to not be seen. Does it ever happen at Forest Lake? Not here, right? We can get so wrapped up in our own worlds and our own agendas that we fail to see God's image, even in the people around us here at our church. We stop seeing people. We start saying things like, yeah, those people in that Sabbath school right by ours. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, the people who worship in the other building. Yeah. The people who took my parking space. The people who are filling up this church, I can't even find a seat anymore. I'm listening online right now. The people who took my pew that I always sit in. We use language that makes people an other or a them instead of a we and an us. And that reflects in how we value them and how we invest time in them based on how they fit in our own agenda. Or maybe the problem isn't that we're seeing people the wrong way. Maybe our problem sometimes is that we don't see them at all. So busy in my world and what I have to do that I fail to see the person right in front of me. We're simply indifferent. And that, I think, might be the saddest of all. When you really see Jesus, you see people. According to God's word, when you see people, you see Jesus. It's been said that to deny God's image in someone else is a kind of atheism. Let that sit for a second. Sometimes we wish that we could see God more in our lives. We read about what he did way back then or in another country, and we just say, oh God, I wish you would show up in my life. Why can't you just speak to me? Why can't you just do something? But we fail to recognize his presence in the human right beside us. You don't need a burning bush. You don't need a thunderclap in order to see God. You can see God every day in your cousin, in the person who does your lawn, who picks up your garbage, the person who's a lot wealthier than you, in the person who sits two rows in front of you that you still don't know their name and you've never asked. Here in this church, we profess to love Jesus. So we have received the reconciliation. We are new creations. But could it be that we're missing out on a bright and new and beautiful vision of God? Maybe there's something that God wants to tell us, but it's going to come through someone who's younger than us or older than us or from a different income bracket than us, someone who's most different from us. Because there's something of himself in that person that we need to see. And if we took the time to do that, if we started to see the people most different from us in this church, or just the people we don't know that well, we might get to know God on a whole deeper level because of how his personality and creativity and heart are expressed uniquely through that person. And we would give them a gift. We would invite them to find worth and value and belonging. It's easier said than done. I remember about a year ago at this time, probably a couple weeks prior, I was on my way driving to Camp Kalakwa. How many of you have been to Camp Kalakwa? Quite a few. If you haven't, yes, you have. Yes, I've seen you there. So if you haven't been there, it's just very close to Gainesville, a few miles out. So I'm driving up the road on I-75, and all of a sudden, the traffic starts picking up. This is never a good thing. And my maps, the little line, instead of being green or blue, whatever it is, it's red, right? Indicating heavy traffic. And as we go, it continues to pick up, and we go slower and slower and slower. Ugh. And the cars start going over to the far right. And I'm like, okay, so we start going over. And I realize that we're all thinning down. We're all having to go into this far lane. And as we get closer to the exit, I'm like, man, they're shutting down the entire interstate. This is crazy. What would happen that would cause a whole interstate to shut down a little part of it? Oh no. And as I look up ahead, I see the accident. And I see a car that's completely flipped over. And I'm going, oh my goodness. Oh, and I think about all the other pastors who are coming up there for the convention with all their families. Oh Lord, please don't let that be any of our people. I hope it's not them in that car that's flipped over. And immediately, Holy Spirit spoke right to my mind and my heart. And he said, they're all our people. And in that moment, I realized, whew, I say, right, I'm a disciple of Jesus, we love everybody, but that moment revealed my true heart posture. And I had to have a whole come to Jesus moment, a whole little repentance time in my car, because God showed me something about himself. My love is so limited. My perspective, my circle is this big. I saw an accident. I saw a group of people, tragic, sad, but God saw one of his kids. And he was so wrapped up in that moment. I didn't know them. I didn't know their story, but God was there. He was talking with them. They were probably praying to him. He was with the first responders. God was so wrapped up all in it. They're all our people. And what God told me on that day continues to stay with me in the best sense. Whenever I'm tempted to start talking about not our people or those people. I long to have an eye for Jesus and to have him heal my heart to the point that I truly recognize him in every single person I come across. Here in this church, wherever out in the community that I'm looking, what does this person show me about God? And I invite you today, if that's your prayer, if you've seen Jesus and you want to see people, to join me as we pray. Maybe it's a prayer of repentance. Lord, forgive me for how I've seen others. Maybe it's a prayer of opening. God, please open my heart, change my heart. Maybe it's a prayer of gratitude. God, thank you for how you've shown yourself and expressed yourself in all these people around me. I invite you to pray as well as I do. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for being a good God. Thank you for creating us in your image, such a risk. Thank you for who you've made and how you can speak to us. Lord, please forgive us for the times that we failed to recognize you and the people around us. Forgive us when we've done that here in our church. Please heal us, God. Change the way that we see each other, that we see you. And let that reflect to the world, God, that you're real and that your love is real. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I sit down, I just wanted to share a quick life update. I know I saw a couple of you stand up, almost done. And that is that after 5 incredible years here at Forest Lake, that God is calling me to go to Andrews Seminary in Michigan and to get my Master's in Divinity. It's been a very prayed over decision, a lot of journey along the way, and I feel so much peace and so much confidence in that it's the right next step. And I'm excited, but it's also very bittersweet because of all the time I've had here with you. Florida's become my home, and you all have been my family. I'm here 2 more Sabbaths through August 17, and there's something happening that day, so please be on the lookout in the newsletter for that, because I really want to see you and give you a hug and just say thank you. But one more thing, I just want to say, Forest Lake, thank you. When I came in 2019, most of you probably thought I was a Forest Lake Academy student. But you welcomed me in, and you called me pastor. You've given me so much grace. I've gotten to grow a lot here. I'm so grateful that God put us together for this season. I see Jesus in you so much. And I'm so excited to hear what God continues to do through you and through this church. You've been my very first church as an official pastor, and for that, you'll always, always be in my heart. Love you tons.